Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. I want to take the opportunity to say that our congregation and myself thanks you for taking the time to listen to this Bible study today. This Bible study was given from the pulpit right here at Open Door Baptist on a Wednesday evening. Our prayer is that this study of God's infallible Word will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
If you would, open your Bibles tonight to James chapter number 4. I chose this. I saw a church sign the other day, and it just humbled me down. And this picture here reminds me of it, this beautiful family on his card he gave me. His family being the church, the body of Christ, standing in the middle of the city of Atlanta. I don't know if y'all can see that or not, but we need to not bring the world into the church. We need to bring the church out into the world. Amen. There's too many churches bringing the world into the church. And getting to the scripture here tonight, we'll see that James chapter 4 is kind of a rebuke of worldliness. Let's read verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Lord, you know my heart tonight. You know my study habits, my prayer time, Lord. I'm just, Lord, humbled myself tonight to be able to serve you in what little manner I can. Lord, I pray that you bless my pastor, help him and his family as they travel, visit their families. Lord God, lead this service tonight. Help me to do thy will in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I'm going to go back and read a few more verses here, but submitting yourselves, therefore, to God is what it's all about. We as Christians need to be able to submit ourselves and humble ourselves more and more daily to God. The sign I was talking about is not far from here. I won't call the church's name, but my wife more or less pointed out to me they have changed their services to have two morning services, which a lot of churches are doing that now. That's okay if the church has grown so big you need service, but they have a service, a traditional service, and then they have a contemporary service. And you know, that's not what we need. We need to stick with the Word of God and have the service as God will have it done. Chapter 4, verse 1, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight a war, ye have not, because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? We are not of this world. We are of God. Amen? The Lord said that the world's going to hate you because they hated Him. And if we keep inviting the world to be a part of us, we're bringing the world into the church. Christ doesn't want that. He rebuked the church of Laodicea in Paul's writings in the book of Revelation for being that way. He said, you're either lukewarm or you're just plumb cold. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. He just spew you out of his mouth. He don't like that. And he told them, you've got the world in the church. And I think that's a shame today that a lot of churches are like that. Love not the world. It's okay. We have to be in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. Amen? Okay, so let's read on here. Verse 5 says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. Verse 6 is a great verse of Scripture, but you got to be careful about these proud folks today. And you know, there's a lot of preachers that way today, and God help them that they want to build a reputation up and build their self up. And that's what this lesson's about tonight. It's about ourselves. Myself, yourself, ourselves. We have a problem with self. Self will get you in trouble. I can't control the way any of y'all live, the way any of y'all worship. That's you. I have enough trouble controlling myself. You know, I have trouble with myself, and we have to put ourselves, as the pastor taught us on, putting that old man aside. Amen. We have to do that daily. But verse 6 will help you overcome verse 4 and 5 about the adulteress and adultery. It's speaking of idol worship there and being friends with the world. And you know, we think, well, they're talking about putting up statues like Buddha and these. And no. Idol is anything. The preacher Sunday mentioned those shiny cars with the pretty wheels on them. Them's idols. Them bass boats, they're idols. Amen. Them golf courses and them fancy golf clubs, if you put them ahead of God, they're idols. Anything that stands in the way of you worshiping and serving God is an idol. And he's rebuking them for it here. He said, if you're part of that and you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. That's plain. That's what the Scripture says. That he says, but he, talking about God, giveth more grace. More grace. I want some more grace. Amen. He's so gracious and merciful to save us. First of all, you can't ask for no more than that. But he says, when you're having trouble with things, and we're getting to that, when you're having trouble, when you're down, and there may be somebody in here really down tonight. I've been down. I feel pretty good tonight. I was hanging over the trash can this morning, letting some stuff out, but you know, sickness affects everybody, but I need some more grace, and I'm so glad. That word more, if you look that up in the Greek, it's mazona. It means greater. Greater grace from God. His grace is sufficient, Paul said, but more grace. If you need some help, it's going to come from God, and it's going to come through His grace and His mercy. And He'll just give you more and more and more of it, even if you're just sinful. And these folks is just sinful. These church members are sinful. That's what you get when you bring the world into the church. You get folks coming in, and number one, they're still lost. They've never humbled themselves and submitted themselves to God. We're getting to that. And then you've got the world mixed in with the church. And then you've got a mess. You've got a mess because pretty soon they'll overtake. You can't have that. And this church is not like that. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but God just touched my heart with this, and I wanted to share with you. More grace. God resisteth the proud. I love that piece of Scripture. And I was mentioning sinners. Even the Scripture says that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There's always going to be more grace than they are sin in this world. There's always going to be more mercy than they are sin in this world. That's just God. He's just good. He's loving. He's kind. He's honorable. He's holy. But He also says, God resisteth the proud. Now, there's a lot of pride in this world. I don't want to get into my own thoughts on that. I want to give you Bible on it. I looked up some things about proud and prideful people. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Pride. Pride is a sin. And me being a man, I know that. I'm prideful sometimes. I am. And we need help with that. So how do we get that help? We get this more grace from God. We fall down upon our knees and ask God to help us. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better, verse 19 says, better it is to be of a humble spirit. Thank God for the humble spirits that's in this church. There's a lot of you. Amen. When I fellowship with you and I talk with you, and I can just, you know, when you fellowship with somebody, just a few words, you might not even be talking about nothing important, but you can just feel the Spirit of God, the God's Spirit in them, bearing witness with God's Spirit in you. That's that humble spirit, that loving spirit. I had a guy stop by the shop the other day, and we was talking about cars. And just in a little while, we got to talk. He used to be a missionary to South Africa, and I didn't know it. I met the man several times, and he got to reminiscing on some of the things he did down there, and his spirit bearing witness with my spirit, and we just had church again in the shop. And that's what it's all about, a humble spirit. It better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Man came from a very, very humble beginning. Think about Genesis 2, I believe it is, and verse 7. Yeah, I got it written down here. We came from the dust of the earth. That's so humble. If you think about it, just a pile of dust. We were nothing. We think about it, we still are nothing. Without the Lord, we're absolutely nothing. A humble, humble spirit. Proverbs 18 and 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And before honor is humility. Humility and humbleness and haughty. I'll give you some definition for those words as we go on here, because they're important. When we get to verse 7, that's why I read it first. That's where I wanted to start, but I wanted you to get a hold of how the world affects the church, and how being prideful and being lustful. Lust is to envy. That means being proud of who you are. The Scripture plainly tells you, at least don't think more highly of yourself than you should. Amen? That's God's Word. That's not our Word. You should be careful, lest you fall. We've got to be careful not to put ourselves above others. When you humble yourself and submit yourself unto God, you should, as a Christian, think more highly of others than you do of yourself. Jesus was a perfect example. He never elevated Himself above others. He was a humble servant. I believe the Scripture says He was lowly and meek. Amen? And I love that about our Lord. Humility is the condition of being humble. The exact opposite of being proud or prideful is to be humble. Opposites. Think about that. Opposites. Haughty is a Latin word, altus, meaning high. Remember what I read to you out of Proverbs? Before destruction, think about this. This is God's Word. Before destruction, right before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. High. Man has lifted himself up, thinking he's somebody, thinking he's something, thinking he don't need God, he's destroyed. Amen? Destruction. Much pride in oneself. Having or showing too much pride in oneself and scornful to others. That's a shame that the world is like that today. But God giveth grace unto the humble. Amen? God giveth grace. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves. There's some things that we have to do in order to grow in the Lord and receive the help we need. And number one is submission. Submitting yourself unto God. Y'all have heard this. Giving your all to Jesus. And I believe that 100%. He gave His all for us. We need to give our all for Him. And there's Christians, I know, that, and I used to be one of them, that was not fully committed or fully submitted. I had submitted myself unto the Lord for salvation. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. And I accepted that. And he saved me. I know I was there. It happened. Amen. You heard the old song? I know I was there. I think Johnny Cash sung it. I know I was there. The Holy Ghost convicted my heart of my sin. And I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But even after I got saved, I was never fully submitted to God's will. And there's probably many of y'all been like that also. I don't know. I heard a young preacher one time get up and say that after he was saved, and he was saying it was like 2 or 3 years ago, he'd been called to preach, but he hadn't sinned since. Well, he was just sinning then. If a man without sin, he's a liar, and he makes God to be a lie. I'm telling you the truth tonight, I did not fully submit myself unto God. It came sometime later. And when I did that, I realized that, hey, this is okay. God knows what's best for me. If I allow Him to lead and rule my life and lead me in the direction He wants me to go, it's going to be the right way. My way is not the right way. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If you can get the first part of verse 7 right, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God, the second part of verse 7 becomes much easier. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The first part of verse 7, if you don't do that, if you never accomplish that, you'll never accomplish the second part of it. Satan attacks me daily. I don't know about y'all, but I have to fight that rascal every single day. He nips at my heels. He thumps me on the back of the ear. He pokes me in the side. He do y'all like that. That's what, and I have to resist him. You know, I quote this scripture sometimes, but I realize that's me saying that to him, but I know the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in me is greater than him. Amen. He dwelleth in this world. I don't. I'm not of this world. Amen. Submit, therefore, resist the devil. Y'all know what that word resist means? It means to put up a fight. If a police officer ever pulls you over for something and you resist arrest, you're in trouble. Amen. You're putting up a fight. So if you resist the devil and put up a fight against him, the Scripture says he will flee from you. He'll come back. If you're truly submitted to God and serving the Lord, He's going to continuously attack you. He don't want you serving God. He don't want you living for God. He don't want you coming to church. He don't want you reading your Bible. He don't want you praying. That's His job. He's good at it. He can't steal your salvation, but He can rob you of your joy. He can rob you of your faith. Satan can steal your faith. He can knock you down, your faith so low that you'll be of little faith. You might have somebody say to you, where's your faith? Jesus said that to His disciples. They were really close to the Lord, right? But that can happen. Don't allow Satan to rob you of anything. Verse 8 tells us, submitting yourselves. Remember, that we're talking about self tonight, ourselves. Yourself and myself, ourselves, and it's different for everybody. Like I said earlier, I can't control, and I have no control, and I learned a long time ago, I can influence people in certain ways. And you can too. Just by coming to church tonight, you've influenced somebody. They saw you get up and leave your house, and they say, well, there goes Joseph again. He's going to church tonight. There goes Miss Tiffany with the girls. They're leaving, they're going to church. They knew that. And you've influenced them. They may say, well, I wonder why they go over there all the time. But you can't control how they act or think. But you can influence them. Influence them in the right way. Be an example. Amen? It's good that we're... Submit yourselves, and you will be able to resist the devil. Submit yourselves. That's the first step. And a point on submission, it's about being under somebody, under authority. Some of y'all's old military men, or you had strict school teachers or strict parents. I had all that. And I mean, you learn submission. That a lot of children today don't have that. And it's sad. They believe in time out, put them in, you know, time out, or take them to the doctor and get them some medication to slow them down. No, most time they need a whack on the butt. Amen. Just to be honest with you, if you spank the child the right way, it'll drive the devil out of them. You shall save their souls. Amen. You'll help them. But submission, you will never be able to be in authority over anything unless first you become under authority of something. And number one is become under authority of our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to be under His authority and to be led and directed by Him. Well, how do you do that, Brother Keith? Well, I'm going to tell you how you do it, and it's going to be God's Word. Submission, I love the Greek word for that is hupotasso. It means to be under subjection, to be under obedience, plainly means to obey. The Word of God said is, it is better to obey than sacrifice. If you fall under submission to God, complete submission, you're going to obey Him. You can't help it. I mean, if God tells you to do something and you're truly submitted to Him, you're going to do it. You're going to do your dadgumdest best to do it. I love a man of His Word. And God is a man, and He's God. And He's of His Word. His Word is true. It's forever settled in heaven. If it's in God's Word, you can count on it. It's true. Mark it down. That's the end of it. Don't worry about it. And I love people that's like that. You know, somebody tells you, I'm going to be there at a certain time, so and they're there. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to call them, make sure they're coming. They're there. You'll do it. You'll submit yourself. Verse 8 tells you how to do it. And remember now, James is kind of rebuking the church here of worldliness. He says, number one thing you got to do if you're going to submit yourself is to draw nigh to God. Get close to Him. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, me too, you're as close to God tonight as you want to be. Absolutely. Some of us may be closer than others, but you, yourself, remember we're talking about ourselves tonight, myself, Brother Keith is as close to God tonight as He wants to be. And let me tell you, I want to be closer. I still have problems, Brother Jimmy. I still got things in my life that I don't think's right. And I'm still trying to get rid of them. And I'm continuously submitting myself to God. And I still sin. See? So when I sin, the first thing I have to do, Brother Allen, is I submit myself to God. I humble myself to God. And I say, Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. And He knows if that's true. He knows if you're submitting and your heart, He knows if it's coming from a pure heart, and He's going to accept that repentance and He's going to forgive you of it. Amen. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just. He is. We're not. I'm telling you, we're not. But He is. He that promised is faithful. Amen. He is. Submission. Draw nigh to God, but this is the best part of it, and He will draw nigh to you. When you approach a most holy God, and He is holy tonight, when you approach Him in the right way, He's going to be right there. That's the best part of it. I got a little closet at home. It's in Abigail's room, of all places, a child's room. And it's always a mess in there unless Grandma makes her pick up the toys. But I go in there, and it's the closet in the very back of our apartment. And I got a little stool down there, and I close the door. And I get down there on the floor, and I humble myself. I submit myself. You can ask my wife, bear witness with me, hours at a time sometimes. She has to come to the door to see if I'm okay sometimes. But that's where I get my help. See? Brother Keith can't help anybody else unless he receives help. And it's like that with any good preacher, any good teacher. If you're going to try and help somebody and try and feed them something that will help them grow in the Lord, you first have to draw nigh to God yourself and allow Him to draw nigh to you. Sometimes Brother Keith is not as close to God as he should be. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, you're going to say, I ain't either. And, you know, if you don't want to be honest with yourself, you can come up here to the altar later and get it right with God. But there's times in our lives that we're not totally committed or submitted as we should be. Remember, we're talking about ourself tonight. Yourself, examine yourself tonight. Yourself, myself, ourself, we're all sinners saved by grace. Amen? That's why we're here. We know at one time in our life, Jesus saved us. Amen? And now we're here to worship and praise Him for that and to learn more about Him. And I'm telling you, the more you learn about Him, the more you're going to find about yourself. You want to get to know yourself, get in the Word of God. James, I believe, in the same book here we're studying in tonight, he said it's like a mirror. You get to looking at God's Word and it'll show you yourself. See, God already knows who you are. He knows how you are. Sometimes He has to show you how you are, yourself. When He shows you, then that's when He wants you to repent. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And He's talking to folks that have messed up and had some problems and had some troubles. I'm like that. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See, the Lord don't want you to be wishy-washy about some things. And I mentioned at the start tonight about the church having two different services. Number one, God don't want you to be wishy-washy about salvation. See, they're calling that first service a traditional service, a religious service. And they're calling their second service a contemporary service to tickle the ears of the world and draw in the young folks and the crowd. We don't need that. You don't need to bring that into the house of God. That's bringing the world into the church. The same Holy Ghost that saved folks 2,000 years ago is the same Holy Ghost that saves folks today. Amen. He's not changed. The book of Malachi says, I am the Lord, and I change. He's not going to. He changes us. We don't bring the service, the worship, the Word of God down to fit the world. No. The world needs to be brought up to God's standards. It's pitiful. I'm ashamed to say this country's in bad shape. You turn on the news and see things that are going on in the world today, you wonder what is going on in the minds of these people that's leading this country. Amen? That's just something that'll help you tonight. Those men in those positions, now you think about this, we're talking about submission tonight and humbling ourselves. They're in authority, and they've never submitted themselves to authority. Those positions those men hold, and I'm not preaching on government tonight, just something God just gave to me. They have been appointed. In other words, as the Scripture says, they're kings, some of them. They have never been anointed. God gave me that sitting in my closet this morning. I thought, that's good, because once you have been anointed, then you'll lead people in the right way. I mean, if the President of these United States was a saved man who humbled himself before the hand of Almighty God and got in his Bible and studied it and prayed it and quit listening to everybody else, wouldn't have any problems leading this nation in the right direction. Amen. You can have that for free. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Double-minded, wishy-washy politicians, we ain't got no use for them. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Wow. That's some serious stuff there, ain't it? Number one is submission. You got to know who He is. He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. You got to submit to Him. Number one step. The second step is the seeking of Him. Draw nigh to Him. Draw nigh to God. I look forward. I don't know about y'all. I look forward to my prayer time every day. I used to not, but I do now. I know that's where I'm going to get some help, Brother Tim. If I don't pray every day, I have a bad day, I'm telling you. I get to thinking about, God, why didn't I pray this morning? What's going on? And I miss it. Well, Jimmy, I've had to stop at work and go to a corner and pray. You ought to be like that as a Christian. You ought to want to have fellowship with God. It's about submission and it's about seeking. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Who's he talking about? Us to him. If you need something from him, whatever it is, he already knows. Ask him. Amen? And seek him. You're not going to find God somewhere you shouldn't be. I'll put it to you that way. That's easy. Y'all understand? You're not going to find God somewhere you shouldn't be. He don't hang out in them kind of places. Amen? If you want to find God, the best place to find Him is in God's house. That'll help you. In His house. He said, the Scripture says, I'm going to put my name on it. There's a lot of churches around town that need to take that name off, don't they? Amen? Y'all be honest tonight. It's not a house of worship anymore. It's a community center. And Lord help those folks to get things right. Amen? It's going to require some submission, some seeking. In verse 9, we look back at it. It's going to require some suffering. Some suffering. We think just because we're Christians, I'm just trying to help you tonight with some thoughts, it ought to be easy. It wasn't easy when you was lost, was it? No. You was on your way to hell. Now you're not. Jesus Christ died and shed His precious, priceless, purifying blood that we don't have to have any thought of ever going to hell anymore. That thought should be the farthest thing from your mind anymore. You're saved. Now go out and serve Him. Amen? And it ain't going to be a bed of roses. I believe Peter wrote, think it not strange, this fiery trial that is to try you. You're going to have some problems. If you're a Christian and you're living for the Lord, you're doing your best to serve Him, you're doing your best to help others, lead other people to Jesus, Satan's going to attack you. If he's not, then you probably ain't doing what you should be as a Christian. Honestly. I'm serious. If you're serving God, reading your Bible, and praying, and doing all the things that the Scripture teaches us, and Satan's not attacking you, you need to start praying more. Double up on your prayer time. Double up on your Bible time. Get him to attacking you again. Then you know you're going in the right direction. Amen? It requires some suffering. Leave your finger right there in flip your Bible. I want to give you some suffering. Philippians chapter 2. And our Lord being the perfect example of submission and humility and suffering. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We are to have the same thoughts and actions as we live our life as Christians, as Christ did, because we're supposed to follow Him. In other words, we're supposed to be likened to Him. They first called the people Christians at Antioch because they were what? They were Christ-like. They reminded them of Jesus. When people meet you on the street or on your job or wherever, they ought to say, there's something different about them. I mean, you know, they might not can look at you right off the bat and tell, but if they were to strike up a conversation with you, that we should with them, they find something that's different about it. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Our mind. You got to get the right kind of thinking in your head. You're submitted to God. You're trying to do God's will. You want to have thoughts of God. I have to scold myself and rebuke myself continuously, Brother Allen, to think the right thoughts. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself, there's that word self again, he made himself of no reputation. That means he didn't think he was somebody. Amen? He didn't want to get a name for himself. He didn't want people to think, well, that's the best preacher in Hall County. Let's give him a rate. No. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself to do God's will. It says he took upon him the form of a servant. See, it's all about other people. It always has been. It always will be. Jesus Christ's desire was to save the world. He gave His life for it. Amen? It's still that way. He took upon it and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He, what did it say there? Humbled Himself. I love that. Christ humbled Himself and became obedient. That's the same thing we're teaching here that we are to be out of the book of James, that Jesus Christ did is the perfect example, the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate servant, obedient, the ultimate in obedience unto death. Even the death of the cross. He died for us. The least we could do is act like Christians sometimes. Amen? Humbled Himself. Suffering. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant. And, you know, I think about that sometimes, and it's truly a blessing to me to be even to allowed by God to take part in studying, to teach a lesson, to teach a Sunday school class, any of those things that you do, to come over here and vacuum the floor to church, being a servant. That's an honor and a privilege. God has allowed you to do that. God used you. Amen? It might not be so much as cleaning the bathrooms. God used you as a servant in His house. Amen? And we think about those things and we praise God. Lord, thank You for allowing me to be a servant. You know, we're not worthy to be a servant. We're not. We're worthless, sinful people. It's only through God's grace and mercy, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we take upon His righteousness, and He allows us to do those things. If He should count iniquity, who could stand? Anybody in here stand up and say, "I ain't sinned no more"? No. God knows our hearts tonight. Be afflicted. It takes some suffering. I'm going to wind her down here. Our last one is, it takes some submission, and it takes total submission. God don't like those folks that's halfway on the fence. He said, hey, when Jesus Christ shed His precious blood, Brother Archie, I'm trying not to move. As the pastor said, he reached down and took man's hand, and He took God's hand, and He put them together. Made 2-1. I like that word, atonement. Made 2-1. That's what it means, atonement. The blood of Jesus made 2-1 again. And ever since then, man has continuously been trying to hang on to Jesus and hang on to the world. He's still kind of in the middle, you know what I mean? And God don't like that. God said, wait a minute. You're double-minded. You wishy-washy. You're like a drunk man on a boat, staggering back and forth. Just submit yourself. Submission. And you got to seek God for submission. If you're that way, and you're a Christian, you've been saved, you've been bought by the blood, and you're kind of out in the world and gotten away from the things of God, He's going to chastise you because you're His son. Amen? If you're that way tonight, anybody listening to this, if you've been saved and God is not chasing you to get back in church, get back to reading your Bible, get back to praying, you need to humble yourself before the hand of Almighty God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God because you've never been saved. If God doesn't chasten you, the Scripture says that you're not a son. I think He says, I'm not going to use that word, you're illegitimate. Amen? You just think you're a son. And now, y'all know what the Scripture says about that. He chastens you because He loves you. He wants you to get back to where you need to be. But on the other hand, if you get so far away from God and He's rebuked you so many times and you're not going to humble yourself to Him, God may just do you like He did the prodigal son, let you go on out in the world till you return to Him. Amen? That's where the seeking comes in. You need to seek God. Seeking the suffering. The suffering's going to come while you're serving God. The last point I wanted to share with you, it requires unselfishness. That word self is there again because most folks today always think of me. Well, if I do this, I can't do that. If I do this, I can't do that. Put their self before others. See, it requires that means getting rid of selfishness. Unselfishness. Verse 10 says, humble yourselves. It's up to you individually. It's up to me. I can pray for you. You can pray for me. I can't ask God to humble you down and you not want to be humbled down. It's not going to work. That's not going to work. I got a guy I work with, and I was thinking about this as I was studying this the other day a little bit and studying some other things. And I'd been praying for him for a while that God would get some things in order in his life and where it would. But the whole time I was thinking about that, I was thinking how it would benefit me. See, I was wanting to pray to God for him to help me. I was putting myself in that position. See, he's the one that has to humble himself. Allow God to work in his heart. And when I thought of it that way, I said, Lord, I've sinned. I was putting myself. I was looking at him, Brother Jimmy, and thinking that I'm better than him. That's a haughty spirit. That's a haughty spirit. If you think you're better than somebody else in this church, you've got a haughty spirit. That ought to help you tonight. If you look down upon somebody who comes in these doors just because they dressed a little different, maybe not as nice as somebody else, they don't drive as nice a car as somebody, you're lusting to envy. You've got a haughty spirit. You need to have some humility. You need to be humble. The Scripture says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. If you want some help tonight, you're going to have to humble yourself before the Lord. That word, and He shall lift you up. He's going to do it. If you humble yourself to Him, He's going to lift you up. Brother Jimmy, when you hit the rock bottom, if you're a Christian, if you're a saved man, and you get completely to rock bottom, that's good. You're humbled down, you're humiliated, you're blind, you're crippled, you're naked, you ain't got nothing. The Lord will lift you up. You're in the best place you can be because you ain't got nowhere to look but up. And He shall lift you up. That word lift is the same exact word and used in the same exact way here as it's used with the rich man that lift his eyes from hell. So he's continually looking from hell up in the book of Luke. Here, Jesus will continually lift you up. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.